Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, always excited to be here for another Mind Shifting Monday. Thank you to all of you that are listening via mindshifttalkradio.com. Some of you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, and I know some of you are also calling in by phone. So thank you to everyone listening to the live show, and special thanks also to all of you that will be listening to the replay of this show. Welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio. This is a show for you. It's for every individual that's looking to grow in several areas of your life, whether you're looking to grow professionally, personally, spiritually, maybe you need some help in terms of your finances, whatever it may be, any area of your life in which you would like to reach and attain greater heights of success, any area of your life and where you think you need to have a mind shift, a paradigm shift, this is the show for you. We talk about everything across the board. Sometimes we're serious, sometimes we're not. So we ask that when you come to the show, you come with an open heart and an open mind. You may not necessarily agree with everything that we discuss on this show. Of course, we're sharing our own perspectives, but we guarantee that if you just hang with us for the course of the hour, you're going to have a healthy mind shift. So thank you for tuning in. It's a great way to get your week started. Before we go ahead and talk about this week's show, I want to go ahead and introduce you to my partner in success and crime, even though she doesn't like me to say that, but I love her to death. So Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. Hey, sis. And I don't hear her. So no worries. No worries. She should be joining us. It looks like there's some type of issue going on with her line. But anyway, so Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren, will be here. Normally she would come on and say, hey, and she probably would say something smart or whatever. That's just the humorous side of the show. I'm more.
Oh, see. To you.
Exactly. I knew it was going to be something like that. Something like that. What's up, sis?
What it is, what it be, what it look like, homie. I had to figure out how to unmute my phone so that pulled you up. My bad.
Yeah. You have one of those smartphones that's smarter than you?
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
It's all love. It's all love. But hey, sis, happy Mind Shift Monday. What's been going on over the course of the week?
I'm going to hang up the phone. Shoot. Just hanging in there.
Uh-uh.
Just hanging
great.
On in there.
Awesome. You know, I was excited about this week. I couldn't wait to come back. Well, I'm always excited about Mondays. You know, I say it all the time. For those of you that listen every week, you know Monday is my favorite day of the week. But I was really excited because we had, like, an awesome show last week. And whenever we have these relationship conversations, it's like crazy, all the lines, everyone's calling in, people are in the chat room. You know, everyone wants to talk about relationships. If you can't, you know, relate to anything else, you can always relate to relationships. And so it was a blast last week being able to talk to the guys, right?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so done. I'm so done. But, yeah, so the guys were sharing their perspective. Like,
I'm
going to fill you guys
in. Conversation on mute. My God.
Yeah, I'm going to stop. You know what? I'm going to cancel you for tonight. We have other. I see our panelists are there being my co-host right now because you are really tripping right now. So, you know, you're going to be fired. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, who gets fired from a volunteer job? That's like getting fired
right.
On your day off.
Exactly, Craig. Anywho. So look, so last week we talked about matters of the heart. It was part one. And we wanted to talk about matters of the heart from a male perspective. So we were joined by some phenomenal ladies that you're going to hear from soon, shortly, owners of Cream of the Crop Boutique here in Atlanta, Kia Starlight, and Sam Butterfly were here with us, and they're going to be here joining us shortly. But they moderated a conversation with the guys, and so we talked about dating and romance. We talked about courtship, intimacy, spirituality and relationship. We talked about abstinence. We talked about it all. And so it was great to kind of have like a barbershop conversation with the fellas and just hear their opinions and their thoughts. Now, of course, this is not going to end there. The buck does not stop there. This is going to be a three-part series. So if for any reason you missed last week's show, I would definitely encourage you to go back online, check out the replay at mindshifttalkradio.com and listen to what the fellas said. So we're going to carry it on with part two this week, which is going to be the ladies' perspective. And then you definitely want to be here. If you're not following us via Blog Talk yet, I encourage you to do so. Go to blogtalkradio.com/mindshifttalkradio. Hit the follow link. Make sure that you're following, you're connected with us. You can get reminders about the show. If you have to put it in your smartphone, you know, do better than Sister Big Bones and be able to manage your phone. But you want to get the reminder to be here next Monday night for part three. It's going to be the reunion show. So we're going to have the males and the females here next week with our experts, Kia and Shan, talking about relationships and dating and courtship. So I'm super excited about this. I know that tonight's conversation is going to be amazing. It's going to be fun. Of course, this is going to be a more, a different approach, you know, a little classy, chic approach as the events that the ladies normally host with their boutique. That's what we're planning to have tonight. So I'm really excited about it. Before I introduce our ladies of the hour, Sister Big Bones, is there anything I may have missed or anything you want to share?
You know, I need advance notice so I can hit the mute button on my phone and find it right.
I'm going to need you to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Just stay ready, okay?
I'm always ready. I was born ready, shoot.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So I think I covered it all. The chat room will be opening shortly for those of you that want to get in on the conversation. You'll be able to join the chat room shortly. And then also, if there's anything, if you have any comments, I know we had some calls last week. Some people had some comments and some questions for our panel. Feel free to give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Also, if you're our friend on Facebook, we encourage you to go to our Mindshift page on Facebook, and you can go ahead and take part in the conversation there as well. If you're not our friend, we're always looking for more friends. We love you guys, so become our friend on Facebook. And if you want to connect with us off-air, you can always do that at mindshifttalkradio.com. There's a Contact Us button, and you can go ahead and send an email to Sister Big Bones and myself. So feel free to do that as well. So without any further ado, I told you guys a little bit about our guest moderators that are joining us tonight. But again, these are two classy chicks out of Atlanta, owners of Cream of the Crop Boutique. It's an exclusive dating agency. It has a boutique-style approach. You know, they're not on. It's not an online dating service. They're not matchmakers. But the goal of their agency is to encourage singles to appreciate the process of dating and to know the difference between dating and courtship. And they want to make sure that we're all taking part in the romance throughout our relationship. So I'm excited to have these ladies back with us. They are the experts of the hour. I want to go ahead and introduce you guys to Kia Starlight and Shan Butterfly of Cream of the Crop. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you. Hello.
Happy Monday. How was everyone?
Happy Monday. Happy Mindshift Monday, ladies. How are you?
Thank you.
We're great.
Awesome. We're excited to have you guys back. And I do want to hear your thoughts before we go ahead and bring out this week's panel. What are your thoughts about last week's show?
Well, I think last week's show went very well. We got a lot of good feedback on the male perspective, as well as I really enjoyed the piece about the males getting help and having an outlet to go to for their, you know, different healing and emotions. So I really enjoyed that piece. And they kind of got, although one particularly said he would not go to counseling, I think he kind of, you know, got a different approach, whether he decides to go or not. He believed in spiritual counseling, which is great. But I think that the show went well. And we learned a lot from them, and I hope they learned a lot from us.
What I felt was the highlight of the evening, was to be able to feel the sensitive side of the young men or gentlemen that we spoke to. They started off very, you know, rough and tough and all that stuff, but as time went on, they became more open and a little more, you know, a little softer, and eventually maybe to a point they may have listened a little bit. So I think that that was
right
as well.
So they had a mind shift as well, right? Hopefully.
I think so.
At least they have a different perspective on things, I think. You know, they're looking at things in a different light.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I mean, I thought it was very insightful. It's always great. You know, we sit here, I think, as women, and we kind of speculate and think we know what guys are thinking or what they feel. So it was great and refreshing, I think, to be able to have them here to be really transparent. They were very open about their thoughts and what they feel. So I thought it was great, especially when we talked about even, you know, love languages and how at first they were very, I think they were pretty resistant to the whole love language concept.
Yes, they were.
You know, but they softened up by the end of the hour. So it was interesting. So again, to those of you that missed the show last week, again, I encourage you to go back, check it out, mindshifttalkradio.com. Go to the archives link and you'll see it's the first show there. It'll show Matters of the Heart, the male perspective. So that was part one. So, ladies, we're going to go ahead and get started with this week because we have a huge panel this week. We have ladies. We have Sister Big Bones and I here as well. You know, we talk a bunch. So we're going to try to be quiet. I know I'm going to try to be a little quiet this week and only step in when I just have, like, a really pressing question, just something I have to say where it's just like, oh, I have to say this. I'm going to try to be quiet. But we're going to go ahead and bring our ladies out. So I want to start off with I'll let everyone introduce themselves, but I will start off with Lashay. I'll ask Shay to go first. Just go ahead and share your name, your city you're calling from, and if there's anything else that we should know about you, you can feel free to go ahead and share that.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Shay. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, age 34, and I am in a happy relationship.
Thank you, Shay. Who do we have? Who's next?
Wanda?
Alisha.
I'll go. Okay. I'm Wanda. I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I'm 40 years old. I'm single / no relationship.
All right. Thanks, Wanda. All right. Who else do we have on the panel?
Hi, I'm Robin. I'm calling in from Charlotte, and I'm 36. Relatively recently divorced and dating again, or at least trying to. and I'm happy to be here tonight.
Awesome. And we have one more.
Hello, my name is Rochelle, and I'm from Los Angeles, and I am 32 years old. And I'm happy to be here on this magnificent Monday to talk about this great, to have this big, great discussion with you ladies and all the listeners.
All right.
Welcome, ladies.
Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us. Welcome. Welcome. So, again, for those of you that are just tuning in, welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and my awesome co-host, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. And you're tuning in for tonight's show. It's Matters of the Heart, Part 2, The Female Perspective. And our moderators tonight, our special guests, are Kia and Shan of Cream of the Crop Boutique here in Atlanta. So, Kia and Shan, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you guys, and you have a list of questions you want to ask our panel. So, you know, the floor is all yours.
Okay, thank you.
Can I interject really quickly? This is Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
Before we, like, get into it, because I didn't catch the show last week, but I was just wondering if you guys can possibly give those who did not listen to the show last week what your definition is of courtship versus dating.
Ah, we were going to ask you that. Rochelle?
Oh.
Yeah, we want to get your opinion on that first.
Okay.
And then we are going to get into it, though. But that's one of the questions we would like to start out with, to see what you think, and then we'll go from there, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. Nope. Sounds great.
But since you're on, Rochelle, would you like to go ahead and start?
Okay.
Sure. Ask the question about dating and courting. What is your the difference to you between dating and courting, if there's any?
Well, dating is, to me, dating is when you're, you know, trying to get to know someone and you're not exclusive and you're trying to determine if you could get to that point where you may want to go that route. And then I think courtship is like a step in between dating and being in a relationship where you're really showing one another what it would be like to be in a relationship with you. You're showing, you should show your real self and leave your representative at home.
Okay.
That's my thought. And, you know, and then you could do, like, more things, you know, like maybe go away with the person for, you know, a weekend getaway as opposed to just dinner and maybe, you know, going to a museum.
Yeah, more just really getting to know the person better. Maybe introducing
right.
them to family and friends, and they're coming around to the to meet your family and friends.
Exactly.
More important. Yeah.
Well,
do any other ladies? I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Shay. I wanted to say, to me, dating is the interviewing phase. When I'm dating, I'm talking to more than one person. I'm trying to get to know you and determine if you would be a potential match for me.
Mm-hmm.
Courtship is when I've made the decision. We both made the decision that this is something we want to pursue, and we're taking the steps necessary to solidify our relationship. And at that point, we are exclusive, and we're moving towards a more permanent status. And we may discuss at this point, you know, children, finances, you know, deeper things, as well as family and things of that nature, spirituality, all those things are we're trying to make sure that we're a match and, you know, solidify any issues we may have going forward.
Good. Anything else, ladies? Any other definitions of dating and courtship? The only thing we did not hear as far as courtship is that it's typically intended for marriage. You typically do not move into a courtship situation unless you are both considering the possibility of marriage or, you know, something definitely long-term. So, but very good, ladies. That's definitely dating and courting in a nutshell.
Well, I have something to add to that. I didn't hear anything about sexual relationship during the dating or courting stage. What do you ladies think about that? Is it doing dating, or is that something that you normally do during your courtship, or you just waiting for marriage?
Well, this is Rochelle. Given what my idea of courtship is, I think that you can go a little further. Now, to me, courtship is not really being exclusive, so I'm not, I think it's kind of up to the individual if they want to become intimate with the person that's courting them or vice versa. Dating, you know, you might, you know, a quick smooch on the cheek, you know, that's about it. It's like really no intimacy involved.
In the dating.
Right.
Portion.
So,
okay. Okay. Anyone else, Shay or Robin?
I'm a little bit.
I'm not vocal. On the panel. And I say, you can get it whether we date or court. You know, we ain't even got to go
anywhere. That must be Sister Big Bones. That's Sister Big Bones.
You know, this is Robin, and I'm kind of chuckling because I'm realizing I may take a different, more radical approach to some, and that might be the issue. But someone mentioned interviewing, and, you know, when it comes to dating and courting, you know, I personally believe in sexual compatibility, and I think sometimes it's difficult to determine that you know, kind of thinking of the interviewing phase, I don't, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, don't know if I actually would enter into a courtship with someone without having been intimate with them first.
Right.
Just to be honest, I mean, I really would hate to be stuck with this wonderful man who's lousy in bed, and I know that sounds horrible, but
no,
well,
that's
being real about it. And yeah, so I'm kind of torn.
I think that sounds horrible. I mean, it depends. I think each person is different. This is Shay. I think that can be a part of your interviewing phase. I mean, so
yeah, I agree.
If you know you're asking questions about, you know, what do you do, what do you like to do, what are your hobbies. You may explore intimacy to determine, you know, or can we be a potential match? And sometimes that disqualifies a person.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't think there's anything
especially
necessarily
when you're,
wrong
okay.
with that.
So what we hear you basically saying, ladies, is I would say the majority of you are willing to or are had or consider having sex during the dating stage because if it's not right, then you probably won't move into the courting portion of it.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. All right, our next question, Chan.
Oh, how do you ladies handle your baggage from previous relationships?
I think that's a good question. I don't want to overbear the conversation, but this is Shay. I was just going to say, I think in my relationship, we talk about everything. We put it on the table. So I think for us, it works to just say, hey, these are the things that went wrong in my last relationship. You know, here's what I did. Here's what happened, what he or she may have done. And we talk about them very openly,
uh-huh.
and I think it helps to avoid those same issues in the current relationship.
Now, is it easy for your, I don't know, Shay, you're in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
So is it easy for your partner to talk about his baggage from his other relationships?
Yes.
As well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have both done things to, I guess, kind of straighten the situation out or make things better on each individual part?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Yeah. This is Robin. I think when it comes to baggage, you know, sometimes it helps me to kind of see what kind of person it is that I'm talking to. You know, if you're kind of talking to the guy that every girlfriend he's ever had has always broken up with him and it's that sob story, you know, to me that's a red flag. Exactly.
Yes.
And so, you know, I kind of like to know about the kind of woman that they've dealt with before. Sometimes to compare a little bit, you know, the catty side of me. But I think it's important to kind of hear that. And sometimes, you know, to hear if they're able to take responsibility if they were in the wrong for certain situations.
Right.
And if they're, you know, able to kind of admit where they need to improve. But for the most part, everybody kind of, you know, gets an opportunity to clean slate. You know, I try not to bring baggage from previous relationships into any new situation, but whatever lessons I've learned, you know, I try to use those to help guide me, you know, in these new situations.
I have a question for you, Robin, being recently divorced. Have you found it being an adjustment? I don't know how long you were married, but have you found it an adjustment going back into dating after being married?
Well, I was married for 10 years. And we were together for 12. And what I've found is that it's been very interesting. Being out of the market for 12 years is kind of like same script, different cast. And so being, you know, meeting someone in my early 20s and then being divorced in my 30s, and I'm thinking, wow, this is still going on, you know. And so it's been interesting to see what men are wanting and to see, you know, how – you know, some men are, you know, the whole gigolo thing, how they're wanting to attach themselves to certain women and kind of, you know, live off of them. You know, that it's just been it's been interesting for me to kind of experience dating as a divorcee versus as, you know, a never married, you know, woman before. So it's definitely fun. I'll say that.
So, oh, you found it fun. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Never a dull moment.
Different.
Absolutely not. This is Wanda.
Right, okay.
I wanted to just
the baggage issue. Going forward, me being single, I have been divorced now for 5 years, but what I've found in the course of the 5 years, I'm having to learn when to expose my baggage, because I've had my baggage used as a weapon against me, and so now I don't disclose as quickly as I used to. I used to, you know, want to put it all out there. I'm an open book. No, I'm not an open book. You know, because people will. I've had men to take the information and twist it and turn it. So now I don't know when to, you know, disclose. So I'm struggling with that.
Well, not in the dating stage. That's for sure.
Well, I think at sometimes when you are meeting, because I'm divorced 6 years myself, and I've also come across that where you do want to disclose and be open so that you can be honest and let them know who they're getting or who they're talking to, and they can use information against you in a kind of way. So I just typically, for myself, I'm just very mindful of the questions that I ask, and I pay close attention to their responses as well as their body language a lot of times, because you can kind of tell when someone is eager or when they're, like, waiting for you to finish talking in order, you know, to say something. So I just try to pay closer attention to their behaviors before I disclose any personal information. So...
Well, maybe anyone I can help the ladies, because I'm an open book at this point. I've been divorced for 10 months now, so not quite a year.
Okay.
And so maybe that's part of the issue. I like the idea of telling people things in advance and letting them decide if they can deal with it or not versus revealing it later. So I guess I can learn. I haven't run into the issue of someone using against me yet, but it's still pretty early on. But it's, you know, it's my life and it's my story, and so I can't change that, you know, when I tend to be a pretty open book about a lot of things, and I can see how that's been an issue in the past. But I think that, you know, you should give people the opportunity to decide what they can handle, you know, by being honest up front. So I don't know if that's a bad thing.
Well, they'll definitely let you know what they can do.
I'm sorry. This is Shay. I was just going to say, to me, I need to know during the interviewing phase, I need to know if we're going to be compatible, and I don't want to be dishonest. So you do need to know, well, this is me. Okay, can you handle it? And I think for me, the reason why my relationship is solid is because he put it all on the line. This is me. This is all my stuff, you know, and I put all my stuff on the line. And I think when you do that, you know what you're getting into. If he shared that this the kind of stuff he shared in the beginning, if he shared it a year later, I would feel that he was being deceitful. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, I need to know, what is this package before I take it home and purchase it? You know, like, what is this? And I think it comes with trust. I mean, you have to trust or not. I mean, put it out there. If the person can't deal with it, he's not the one for you. And you move on. I mean, I don't know. That's just how I
Do you find out, Shay, that when you are an open book, is that scary for some guys? Have you had that experience before?
Yes.
Where some guys
yes,
are like, oh, that's too much for me.
Yes, exactly. And then they were not the right one. We cut it off just like that. It was like, okay, well, this is who I am. You can't deal with me. I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Exactly.
So,
I agree with that 100%.
I would rather know up front that he can't handle me than to be in it later and he find out and it's a big deal, you know?
Typically, what we found as we talk to men and other male clients is that is the part where the disconnect starts to happen initially. Women want to say everything, and we want to be verbal and, you know, expressive, and men are very resistant to that in the beginning stages of getting to know someone. If you reveal too much information, if you kind of, you know, come out there with your chest up like, you know, this is me, and, you know, hey, take it or leave it, that's definitely going to shut down what little communication may have happened to initially get the ball rolling. You know,
issue I have with men, they kind of tell you what they want you to know, and I think there's some things that we kind of want to know that they're not saying.
Right.
I definitely agree there's a disconnect. I mean, how do they decide what to tell and what not to tell. I mean, you know, I just always think putting it out there in the beginning is kind of, you know, I can see where people can be, you know, feel kind of overwhelmed with that. But,
yeah.
Again, I
almost,
would say, you know.
Most men
just
don't
talk a lot about their feelings.
And I don't think they necessarily come off the rip and tell you, yeah, I can, you know, I don't want to do that. Most of them, in my experience, yeah, that's okay, you know, that's no big deal, only for you to get on down the road and in an argument, in a heated conversation, you hear this, and I'm like, where did that come from? You know, but in the beginning, oh, it's cool, you know, that's no big deal, you know, we all have a past. But, yeah, when you use my past to, you know, to put me in my place or to say this is, whatever it is, yeah, I don't find them being like, no, I can't do that, I'm out. Most of them like, yeah, I can do this, you know, but that's not the truth.
The reason I think women, the reason I think you're having this issue is you haven't come, whoever said that, you haven't come to terms with your past. Like, what I mean is if you're okay with it, like, whatever I've done, I don't care. You can bring it up if you want to. So what? I did it. If you're okay with it, it doesn't matter if they bring it up. And once it doesn't affect you, then it's a non-issue. That's what I think.
Is that Shay who spoke?
That's me. That's Shay, yes.
Okay. And Shay brings up a good point because the initial question was, how do we as women deal with our baggage? And the conversation has gone kind of to what men do, but we still haven't asked how we deal with our own baggage. So Shay says she talks to her mate. Does anyone, you know, go to therapy? Do they have an extended network of friends? Are you talking to family? How is it that you are able to release and unpack and able to get your bag a little smaller than maybe it was when you, you know, went into a relationship?
So I've definitely been in therapy about it, and I think that's what makes me.
Is this Shay?
I'm sorry, yes, this is Shay. I think being in therapy makes me more open about it and comfortable with my stuff.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We definitely advocate for that. Any of the other ladies, Robin or Stacy? Okay, well, we'll transition to another question.
Well, I want to go back to that right quick.
Okay.
Shay mentioned that she goes to counseling. I know a lot of you, we as women, we talk to our friends. So do any of you seek advice from your friends about relationships at all?
You know, this is Robin, and I have a friend, and I always say, you know, how women give each other horrible advice. And I'm one of them, you know, so when it comes to seeking advice from friends, you know, I have one friend who's also a cousin that I can talk to about things, and she's not, you know, judgmental. I'm a counselor by profession, and so it's, you know, it's been interesting to deal with certain issues and be in a position to, you know, have to seek therapy for certain things and versus what I would actually tell a client to do if they were in a similar situation, and then, you know, getting the feedback and the pretty much the flap from family, and, you know, so I have this one person, like I said, this friend / cousin that I can kind of talk to. I think it's healthier for me to do that than versus, you know, talking to 5 or 10 different people and kind of getting all their feedback, because everybody's opinion is not going to always be helpful. Sometimes it makes it a little worse.
Yes.
When you kind of put it out there like that. So I do have that one person that I feel I can kind of talk to about anything that offers helpful suggestions, and sometimes no suggestions at all, just, you know, listening ear, which helps a lot.
Stacy, did you need to do a stage identification before we move to the next question? Or okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm having one of those sister big phones moments right there. Trying to get the line open, but thank you. So you're welcome. Listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister Big Bones Warren. And tonight the ladies are discussing part two. So it's Matters of the Heart, the female perspective. Last week we heard the guys. This week we hear what the ladies have to say. I have to say, ladies, you guys are already like really going in with the conversation. And I said, Kia and Shan, I'm going to be quiet. So I heard you guys say Stacey, and see, I was quiet. I didn't say anything. So I love it, and I appreciate you ladies all being very transparent. I like what I'm hearing, and I think it's going to be a lot of good information that we're getting and gathering from this panel for next week's conversation. But for those of you that are listening, you know, feel free to take part in the conversation. If there's any specific questions you want to ask, if you have any concerns or anything you want to share with our panel, feel free to give us a call at area code 347-989-0206. All right, ladies, go ahead.
Okay. We're going to shift the dynamic a little bit, and we want to know if any of the ladies have dated outside of their race. If so, why or why not?
Okay, well, this is Rochelle, and I can speak on that. Yes, I have. I've dated Latino men and Caucasian men. What was the second part of that question? I'm sorry.
Well, why or why not? You know, what was it that are you attracted to men of other races? Was it that you were just trying to try something new? You know, why was it that you decided to look outside of, you know, your race?
Well, it kind of came to me with the Latino men. And they were just really good looking. And it was just, I'm out here, like in LA, there is just, it's not like the pool of men, African American men, is not that deep. So the ones that are available, and sometimes I just, the way they approached me and just were very just into me and wanted to know what it is that I wanted to do, made sure that I was okay. They were very attentive to my needs and wants. You know, I can say that was the same with the white man too. But that just kind of, from being friends, it led to dating. It wasn't the like the chemistry thing with the Latino men, and that is why I don't think twice if a Latino man approaches me and wants to take me out. If we can vibe with one another, then fantastic. We can, you know, do this. But with the Caucasian man, eventually it became a problem with cultural differences. And, well, I wouldn't say the cultural differences, but the white privilege. It's a lot of things that they don't see. And that became an issue for me being a black woman.
Yeah, I can imagine.
This is Robin. And I set out to date, I guess I'd say internationally, well, cross-culturally, and that's been kind of, I guess, part of the fun part, and so I have dated Caucasian and Jamaican and Liberian and, you know, pretty much just kind of around the globe, and it wasn't due to any particular flaws of African-American men, and actually what I found is that it increased my preference for African-American men, you know, by dating cross-culturally. You know, I'm pretty open to new experiences, and I wanted to experience something, you know, different. I just felt like, you know, we can't just, or we shouldn't just kind of say I'm only going to date, you know, black men, I'm only going to date. You know, so I'm pretty open to that. It was, for the most part, they've been good experiences. You know, we are different in a lot of ways, and like I said, it wasn't necessarily erase things. Sometimes it was just background, how we were raised, where we're from, you know, north versus south, you know, those kinds of differences.
Right.
But for me, I just felt like I could identify more with African-American men, and that's still my number one preference. But I would not necessarily turn away someone who wasn't Black American if I, you know, was interested in them just because they weren't Black.
Well, this is
I'm
sorry.
No, go ahead, Jay.
Okay, I was going to say, yes, like the last speaker, I've dated internationally as well. And I went through a phase where I dated Caucasians. But for me, it was the sexual taboo thing that was a turn on that I just wanted to explore. And it was fun. I had a great time, great experiences. But, yeah, I have a Black son, so it is my preference to marry or to have a life partnership with a Black man. So my preference is a brother, and that's what I have. But it's not that I haven't done it. It was fun while it lasted, but my preference is a brother.
Sounds like you ladies were doing a lot of international exploring just to see.
I have dated my race just to be able to check it off the list years ago.
Right.
But I find with myself, I just don't want to deal with the lack of the cultural differences and having to explain things. So I feel that I can relate better to a brother because I don't have to do all of that extra stuff to bring him up to speed as where I am. I prefer dating within my race so that I don't have to deal with the difference.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you, ladies, for being very honest. I've never dated outside of my race. This is Kia. Not sure if I really would. I'm kind of like it. Brown myself. So, moving to the next question.
Before we go to that next question, ladies, I just want to pop in for a quick second because I noticed we've had quite a few callers in queue. So if we can go ahead and take a call really quick.
Sure.
Good. Okay. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's see. So I am unmuting 678 calling from Atlanta. Welcome to Mindship Talk Radio, caller.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, ladies?
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
I have a question for the ladies of tonight's panel. Are you ladies ready for a question?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm glad. I like to ask questions because they incite conversation. But my question, ladies, is I didn't catch the beginning of the show. I don't know if you gave your ages, but am I under the correct assumption that everybody is at least in their
30s?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know, what is the expectation of women in their 30s when dating? Because initially it seems as if most women want the like-minded Black man, if you're a Black woman, okay? And what I mean by that is they want to have a man who's looking for a family, you know, looking for stability and so on and so forth. But I find that hard to get to if that's the first thing that I see when I walk through your door. So if I already understand this is what you want, I can understand it as an expectation, but not as like an immediate goal. And I think that scares a lot of brothers away when you can't see if you like the product before you purchase it. It's like you have to know this product is good and I'm going to buy it right now. And then that in turn leads to, excuse me?
I said test drive the car.
Right, exactly.
When he says test drive, does he mean sex or he means they want to know if it's marriage?
Let's be honest. That is inclusive of it. It doesn't necessarily have to be just that, but there are a lot of things that go into whether or not you want to be in a relationship or not, and sex is one of them.
Now, this is Robin, and to, you know, try to answer your question, I think my perspective is going to be a little different than those who have never been married before. I'm divorced, so my expectations are different in that when I'm, you know, dating someone, I meet someone, I'm not necessarily looking for marriage immediately because I've kind of been there and have the T-shirt, and, you know, I'm not necessarily wanting to jump back into that. And so, you know, my expectations are to interact with someone who's on pretty much the same level, who's bringing to the table similar things. You know, I work to buy the things I need, so I'm not, you know, looking, you know, for somebody to shower me with gifts and all those things, but someone who's coming to the table with something, who is relatively happy with their position right now in life. You know, it's okay to, you know, continue to want things and not continue to, you know, strive for things, but that they're, you know, pretty much happy. They live a happy life. They're content with where they are right now, and not necessarily bringing in a lot of baggage. So someone who can be respectful and who's, you know, intellectually stimulating. Someone I consider to be a male Robin, you know, male version of myself, that we can talk, have a good time, hang out, and then if we decide that we want to, you know, move forward with things, then we can. So my expectation is not necessarily for marriage. And I find in dating at this age, at 36, that a lot of men who have not been married at this point, of course, are very eager to try to kind of hone in on someone and find a wife and get married, and they tend to move too quickly for me. So I'm a little different when it comes to dating than some.
Well, this is Shay. I've never been married. I've been engaged 3 times, but I've never been married. I think I have somehow along the years I've shifted. I used to be like, oh, I just, you know, I got to get married, got to get married. And probably in the last 3-4 years, I shifted my thoughts, and that's not my end goal. So because it's not my end goal, I don't even have that as a thought. So when I get to know you, when I go through my interviewing, it's, you know, what can we teach each other? What can we learn from each other? What kind of experience can we create? I'm pretty, my goal is a life partnership, and whatever that means is cool with me, you know, but a life partnership to me is more fulfilling than marriage, because people get divorced. So I feel like if I meet you and we can be life partners, then that's more solid in my mind, because there's no divorce from that. There's no name for it, I guess. So I guess I that's my goal. So that takes away, I think, to his question about being, you know, pressing. I'm never going to press you for marriage. It's just, are we compatible? Can we communicate? Can we solve problems together? Can we listen to each other? Can we trust each other? Can we be honest with each other? Okay, then let's go forth. And that's pretty much where I am.
All right. Did we answer your call, caller?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot more moving parts to it, but I understand you ladies got a show to run, so I'm let y'all do your thing.
Well, thank you for calling
well,
in. Thank you for your question.
Hey, no problem. Take care.
Bye.
All right, ladies, you can go ahead and go on with your questions, Kia and Shan.
All right. We wanted to know if you have dated or if you date men with children, how do you adapt or adjust to his relationship with them and their mother?
Oh, think about it. Miss Wanda, we haven't heard from you. Would you like to start us out?
Where do I start? Dating men with children and their relationship with their mother can be a situation depending on the guy's relationship with that woman.
Exactly, yeah.
If it's a volatile relationship, then you're in a whole whirlwind of good stuff all the time that you didn't necessarily sign up for, but you kind of
right.
did. But I mute myself. I have no opinion. I have no feelings. I found that
or do any other any of the other ladies have an answer of how you adapt and adjust? I know there are some men who have excellent relationships with their children and their ex-wife or the woman who they chose to have children with, and that sometimes for women can be a little intimidating, it can be uncomfortable, or it can be the extreme where it is a lot of tension and you do have to kind of adjust and be put in a predicament where you have to kind of battle for, you know, your place in that relationship. So is there any adaption or adjustment that you...
Yeah, this is Shay. For me, that's part of the interviewing. That's one of the definite questions I'm going to ask. In the
Girl, you
case.
Got a long interview going on.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Because I'm a single parent, but my son's father is not active. So that's a question I'm going to ask off the top. Do you have any children? What is your relationship with the children? What is your relationship with the children's mom? That's going to determine if we're going to go forward. If you do not have a relationship with your children and you are not financial in your children's life, you will be disqualified from being with me. Because
I agree 100%.
So that's a big issue for me. That's something I'm going to know before moving forward.
Yeah, this is Robin. I agree 100% on that. And having been in that situation as a single person, when I met my ex, to kind of witness that, you know, very volatile relationship between he and his ex-wife and then how he interacted with his daughter, you know, I could not help but wonder how, you know, would that be different if that were me? And so fast forward 12 years, being in the situation now that I witnessed 12 years prior, I can't help but think back, you know, now I see, you know, a different side of him, you know, because now I'm the ex number two.
Right.
And so I see a very similar pattern of behavior. Thank goodness in my situation, his interaction with our children is better than it was with his child from a previous marriage. But, you know, I think it's important. You know, I actually, you know, I don't mind men who have children, you know, coming into relationships. And if they have a good relationship with their child's mother, to me that shows that they're able to be mature in, you know, certain situations and still have that positive relationship, which I think should be there. You know, if you've ever loved someone to hate them now and you have children with them, I think makes things very, very difficult. I would say having lived through the volatile baby mama, ex-wife situation, that is not necessarily something that I would jump back into again. It is very difficult. I knew what I was going into. Unfortunately and fortunately, you know, I no longer have to deal with that because the baby's mother, the child's mother, whatever we want to call it, is not in the situation anymore. She unfortunately passed away. But, you know, it was a very difficult situation to have to live through. Phone calls, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, the screaming, the fight, the arguing. It was very difficult. And that is not something that I recommend, nor would I, you know, kind of, you know, easily get back into again. If I were dating someone.
I think
it's very important to look at that.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point about when someone mentioned earlier about checking out the previous relationship and you noticed, you know, the trend that was going on in your ex-husband's previous relationship. So then, you know, like you said, fast forward, it happened to you. So we have to be really careful about I think just going into relationships and really trying to figure out that person or just seeing who that person really is because he showed you, I guess, in the beginning.
Exactly.
You know, and so, but we live and we learn, so you know,
amen.
You know better, you do better, right?
That's right, that's right.
And typically when we enter relationships, we have an illusion of what we want and what we see. And when you're moving forward in an illusion, there's a lot of things that you can miss. Some real key things that, like you say, hindsight, you're like, I should have saw that. That was so clear to me. But, again, we're moving into what the illusion is and what we're looking for, and that's what we want it to be. We can miss those very key points. Any other comments on dating men with children and having to deal with the co-parent situation?
One last thing to say about that is I've been kind of reluctant to date men who are single fathers, and I know that sounds maybe, you know, like discrimination because I'm a single parent, but there are mm-hmm. some men who are looking for mothers for their children specifically, and yeah. that's something that I've been, you know, kind of reluctant to get into. You know, if someone's really, you know, wanting to be a partner and, you know, and kind of co-parent, then that's one thing. But if you're not wanting that responsibility that maybe has been dumped on you and you just want a mama to kind of come in and pick up so you can go back to the life you led before, I'm completely not right. interested in that at all. So single fathers sometimes I kind of shy away from, and I know that sounds awful. But,
well, you're just clear what you don't want to deal with. Yes, you're very yeah. clear of what a deal breaker is, and that's
yeah.
very important when you're dating. Like, I'm not doing that.
And you're not settling. That's great.
yeah.
Okay. You tell them what you want.
I wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
My situation, having dated men with children older than I am, it's more
what?
So making sure the children were okay with me. And that's it.
You know what?
I'm not even lying. I'm serious. I am.
So your situation was opposite. You were dating men who had children older than you. So you
correct.
Had to deal with the resentment from the older children because you were first dating their father.
Well, no, it wasn't even resentment. It was, I can remember one gentleman in particular, I think his daughter was like 5 years older than I was at the time, and she was perfectly okay with it. Like, go ahead, Dad. And, you know, and
uh-huh.
he had a great relationship with his ex-wife, too. And so it just all worked out, but that's just a different dynamic of it.
And that definitely is a different dynamic. Thanks for bringing that to the table. We've never thought about that dynamic and how that can be. Who was that spoke?
No, did somebody ask who was that? Oh, that was one.
Yes,
that was Juanita.
Oh, okay, Juanita. Thank you for sharing. All right, on our next question.
Okay, this question has to do with relationship roles. Ladies, how do you feel about roles in a relationship? Do you think it's important to identify them? Do you believe that a man should lead? How do you feel about your roles?
I think my man is the head, hands down. But when we get into roles, I mean, he cooks and he cleans too. So it's not like I don't think we have traditional roles.
Yeah,
but
okay.
we kind of come together to see, you know, what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses,
right.
and it doesn't change him being the head regardless.
That's good. That's great. Anyone else have anything to say on that?
I think having, you know, dabbled in the cross-cultural dating, that's one thing that's come up. I like to kind of see where a person is with that, you know, with the differences and how we were raised, you know, the cultural differences specifically. And, being the kind of woman that I am, you know, kind of have a strong personality. So I need somebody who can handle my personality. But I, you know, when it comes to, I think there are clearly defined roles, but at the same time, I agree with the previous speaker that, you know, sometimes you kind of cross over those traditional roles and, you know, you kind of pitch in. You know, I don't want someone who's, who thinks I need to, be less than, or I am less than because I am a woman. You know, that's not the kind of situation that's for me. So I kind of like to talk about where they are and what their idea of what a woman's role is in a relationship, just to kind of see if I think we're going to mesh. Because, you
yeah.
know, yeah, it's important.
Yeah, sounds good. So nobody's really into the traditional roles, staying home, cooking and cleaning, and doing all those things while your husband go out or your mate goes out and be the provider.
That's a negative, no.
Man. Feminism.
Well, this is Rochelle.
Yeah.
I have no problem doing that. If
yeah.
if we have children, because
mm-hmm.
in the early formative years, I think it's best. Sometimes you can have a parent there to do the things that the children need to be done, that the children
mm-hmm.
Need to have done before they're able to, you know, go out and navigate the world on their own, per se. And then once they get a little older, then they most easily re-enter the workforce or do whatever it is that you want to do. But I wouldn't mind staying home, you know, and being a house manager for a home manager
yeah.
for you know, 7 years or so.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be indefinite.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I think it's important that we balance as men and women in the home, and we help each other, you know, and it's great to identify roles and understand, have a clear understanding of what each person is supposed to do. And like someone said about, you know, use your strength. You know, if you're the finance person, you do the finances. If you're the person who can cook, you do the cooking. I mean, you know, you just have to balance all of that. I think it's just important to understand the different roles, whatever they may be in your relationship.
I had a discussion in a chat room today, and a gentleman posed the question, why does it appear that women are being more aggressive and pursuing men and, you know, just kind of on the hunt as it pertains to finding a good man? And, you know, I guess I played a little devil's advocate by saying that, you know, women are of a different thought process, you know, in modern day, and because women are doing more things aligned with what men do, they are becoming a little more aggressive with their approach. Maybe not in the 30 to 40 maybe age, maybe 35 to 45, but a little younger, that they don't have a problem with approaching a man, being persistent, asking him to marry them. And then when you come into Atlanta specifically, there are so many other dynamics that you have to deal with when you're dealing with or looking for a mate. And so when you find that one good guy who's God-fearing and has the same morals and values as you, you know, it may appear that you may look a little thirsty or tend to kind of grab onto this guy because, hey, you know, this is a good guy, he's straight, you know, maybe he doesn't have children, he goes to church. And so do you ladies agree or disagree with being more aggressive in your approach when it comes to meeting men, or still staying in that traditional wanting to be courted and being approached and asked to dance and all of that?
You know, this is Robin, and what's interesting about hearing you say that is, you know, here in Charlotte, you know, I find that the men typically prefer that the women approach them, and so it kind of puts you in an awkward situation, especially if you're not comfortable with that. But I don't know if it's just kind of, you know, men being afraid of rejection, but typically here, women approach the men because the men aren't as likely to come up to you. And so I like the idea of being approached by a man. I like the idea of someone saying, you know, hello, how are you? You know, kind of having that conversation, you know, kind of the more traditional aspect of things. And so I prefer to be pursued versus being in a position to having to pursue someone that I'm interested in. You know, I'm comfortable doing it. I don't mind doing it, but you know, sometimes it would be nice to have someone, you know, they'll look and they'll stare, but as far as coming over having a conversation, you know, if you don't go over and talk to them, then you don't talk. So it's just kind of an interesting dynamic to experience, you know.
So what are you doing in that situation?
I'm
when
sorry?
What are you, this is Shan, what are you doing in that situation when they're not coming over to you? Because I'm very traditional too, and I'm just not going to ask a man to go out with me.
I don't mind going. If I see someone that I'm interested in, I will ask them out. I don't mind it. What happens though? I think the way you start a situation typically is the way you kind of continue and finish a situation. So if you're the aggressor and you're pursuing them, you find yourself kind of in, you know, in this chase the whole time, and that's the part of it that I don't like. You know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm comfortable with that, but I don't want to be in that situation each time.
Yeah.
I think it's a delicate balance. So you don't assume I don't assume the whole role. Like, I'm not going to pursue you. I'm not going to plan dates for you. I'm not going to do that. But I will say, I will toss out a carrot. If you pick it up, then you can come up. Like, I'll toss out something to say, you know. Like, you, in my current situation, I told him, you know what I'm saying, we need to be together. And then he follows up on it. But if a close knock don't get fed, you know. Like, we need to hook up. I basically said we need to hook up. And then he followed up on it. But I wouldn't have gone through the extent of continuing to call him and setting up. But I wouldn't do all that. I just toss it out there. You pick it up. We can continue.
Right. I mean, I think a little flirtation is always healthy, you know, and men want to be, courted as well, even though it's not traditional that women court men, but they want to feel loved and they want to feel almost chased a little bit. So it's good to play the little game here and there, but when it comes to a point where you're on one knee and you're asking a man to marry you, to me, that's just a little bit more desperation.
Yeah, I'm not there.
Yeah, me either. Okay. Let's see. Stacey, did you have any questions that the men had from last week that you wanted to ask?
I am working on that. Sister Big Bones actually has quite a few.
One of the questions, I have one.
Okay.
Is that so?
About, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was about dating. And the question pertained to, expectations for a first date. And what did women expect for their first date with a man?
You mean, as far as who pays and do they come inside? That kind of thing.
Well, it was about who pays. It was about the place. Because how the conversation went was, that the gentleman might think it was very romantic to take you to Checkers and sit inside and enjoy a meal and share milkshake out of two straws and stuff. But then you're calling him cheap. So it's just, what are your expectations of the first date?
Whoever asks who out should actually pay, and I think that's kind of separates me from some. But if I ask a gentleman out, then, I'm kind of expecting to finance, that event because it was my idea now. And then you can kind of tell about the guy if he kind of lets you do it, if he doesn't. Or if we go out, Dutch, if we're dating, I don't think you should necessarily have to pay for me if we agree to just kind of go out as friends to kind of hang out. So, and if, financially, I think times are kind of hard all around, if someone wanted to kind of take a less expensive road, I wouldn't necessarily think they were cheap. I think I definitely do not expect them to try to sleep with me on a first date. So that's one expectation that I have or don't have. I don't expect that there's sex on a first date and that there's pressure for sex on a first date, that they're trying to, come inside. I think, that's where I kind of go back to, a traditional, even though I'm testing out the waters for court, but I don't expect that.
Is there a price threshold? Talking amongst women, child, if he take me to the melting pot, he going to get it, or if I take her to the melting pot, I'm getting you done later.
Right.
I think that there is an expectation. I think that men typically, and women, if you're taking me out of town and you're buying a ticket somewhere, I think there is an assumption sometimes that, I guess I'm going to have to give him some, or he's going to get it because, he's taking this money or stuff to get me a ticket. And, even though that's a chivalrous thing to do and it's a very kind thing to do in modern day society, there is some things that are attached to it. If I'm going to pay for it, then obviously I'm going to need something in return. And that's a sad, but it is true.
Yep, let's keep it real. It's going down if you go out of town.
That's
it. That's
a good one.
We know.
It's going down.
So be prepared.
All right, let me go ahead and just jump in here for 1 second, ladies. I know this was a good question, and we actually only have a few, probably about 20 minutes left in this show. We have a couple more questions, and we also have some callers that are waiting to get on here to talk to you, ladies. So before we take these calls, just want to say for those of you that are just tuning in, you're late. but it's okay. Welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio. You're listening to Mind Shift with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. Tonight, part two of our relationship conversation, Matters of the Heart, the female perspective. The guy said everything they had to say last week. Now you're hearing what the ladies have to say. And then next week, you're going to hear part three. We're going to have the reunion show here on Mind Shift. We're going to have the ladies and the gentlemen here next week for another roundtable discussion. So thank you for those of you that are tuning in. Thank you for those of you that are calling. I'm starting to see a lot of calls. I don't know if it was this last question or what's going on. So we're going to take a couple of calls since we only have a little bit of time left. So, ladies, let's go ahead and take a call from – we'll start with this one. Someone's calling in from the 347 area code. Welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
I'm all right.
Hi.
How you doing? My name's Byron. Sister Big Bones, please don't start.
Uh-oh.
With the Byron thing. What's going on? My thing is this. When are women going to start accepting or demanding more accountability from a lot of these so-called men out here? Like, I was listening when you're talking about the whole courting thing and, you know, being taken out on dates and stuff like that. How could you, in my opinion, how could you wear the name of a man if you're not willing to step up and be that man, you know, from all angles? Like, I understand,
right,
you know, and respect the fact that women, you know, have their independence and, you know, they don't mind being aggressive and doing what they, you know, need to do to get what they want. But at the same time, if you're a man, conduct yourself as such. If you want, if you're a go-getter, then go out there and get it. Don't wait for it to be given to you. And that's like one of my biggest issues. It's like you got a lot of, there's a lot of women out there. I don't know what this new thing is that's going on with women. Just, oh, well, yeah, I'll take him in. I'll try to change him. I'll make this happen, make that happen. I'll work with him. No, if he ain't workable, take him to the curb. That's just what it is. You can't turn a male into a man.
That's not new, Byron. That's been going on for ages.
Yes.
It seems like it's really rearing its ugly head even more so nowadays, especially with this generation coming up. They feel that they ain't got to work for it.
Can I say this? I think, and I hear your point, Byron, about the women being, you know, demanding more accountability. Now let's flip it over to the men. You guys need to learn how to be more accountable and more responsible on your end as well. I think we both have to start. The male and the female need to get themselves together on both ends. You know, it's not that we're not demanding that or whatever. Now, a lot of women don't, but also the men have to step up to the plate as well and be a man, starting with a man of God first. And then everything else, and then the women need to be a woman of God. And then come together, because I think that's a big piece that we're leaving out of all of this. We have not talked about that spirituality part, God being in a relationship or anything, but I think it goes on both parts, male and female.
Well, Byron, I'm sorry. I think that, unfortunately, there is a societal shift with men being men. I think that the younger generation is okay with taking a more lackadaisical approach to dating. I think that they are used and are becoming accustomed to young ladies being way more forceful. A lot of the times with the absence of a male in the home and seeing their mom or the woman in their life being aggressive with men, they feel as though that is what the norm is. And that's one reason we really established this business. One of the reasons is because I think people in younger generation have to learn how the process of dating, courting, and romancing, and that is for young men to learn how to do that, you know, and who's teaching them that. I'm not sure.
Well, obviously no one is teaching them right now.
Why? You like to teach them.
Excuse me?
Their mother is teaching them.
Oh,
so I said, I don't think it's necessarily being taught. There's a lack of teaching.
A lack of teaching, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Byron, for calling in. I'm sorry, Rochelle, to cut you off. I had to go ahead and just kind of in that question, but I do want to hear your thoughts on the next one, Rochelle, because we have another gentleman waiting in queue, and I have no idea what he's going to say, but I will say this is a sneak peek to next week's conversation, considering that he was on the show last week. So, Princeton, welcome back to Mindshift Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies?
Hey, Princeton.
What's going on?
Hello.
Wow, I've been waiting for 1 hour and 15 minutes to get on this. I really want to talk a little bit about it.
It's okay.
Patience is virtuous. It's virtuous. So, really my thing is this. And I really want to kind of go back when the ladies was talking about baggage and about when to be able to present that baggage to, you know, whoever the object is of your affection. I think the big piece of it is that a lot of times most people don't really know what their baggage is. So oftentimes, you know, we may or may not be on a date or we may not be in the courting stage. And until something happens that reminds us or something that looks similar to something that we dealt with or maybe we didn't have the opportunity to deal with, you know, in the past, rears ugly head. And that's when you see, you know, what that baggage is. And then oftentimes, even if there's a time where we know what our baggage is, you have to understand that you're talking in a static environment, right? Because most men at some point – we're looking at it as, okay, well, what purpose do you serve? And if you're somebody that we're trying to be with on a long-term basis, then there's no issues with opening up and letting you know, what our deficiencies is, what our fears are, you know, some of the things that may or may not intimidate us. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't happen until we know that we know what purpose that you serve, you know, to us. So, you know, I think it's hard for us to sit and say, okay, I'm going to put it all out on the line when sometimes it may not come until later. That doesn't mean that a man is trying to send his representative or we're trying to pull the wool over each other's eyes. It just means that, guess what, this is a part of the learning process. And sometimes it takes experiences because experiences is the piece that molds who we are as people and also shows us how to handle certain situations, especially if we were hurting those situations. So,
yes.
I didn't think that we got the full scope of that when you all were talking, and I hate to take it all the way back to the beginning, but I appreciate the forum. I can't wait to have an opportunity to debate with you all in real time next week. But at the same time, I think that women on the whole need to understand that, yes, we're different in a lot of ways, but there are certain things that we're alike, we are a lot alike on, but the things kind of get lost in translation because we normally speak a different tongue to one another. And that's
You know what, you made very valid points, and I want to say this right quick because I know we have to go. The thing that you brought up about men sometimes and we as people not knowing our baggage, I think a lot of times, and correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the time guys really don't want to hear all of that baggage in the beginning. Am I right or wrong?
During
the beginning of a relationship coming from a woman, is that what you really want to hear?
Again, I think it depends on the reason that people are dating and what is they're looking to get out of it. So, and the issue with that is that you really never know what someone's intentions are. You know, you only know what it is they're telling you. So if a man's true intentions are to get to know you and to think, okay, this may be the one for me, then it's not going to matter what your baggage is. We want to know what it is so we can help you unpack it. But if he's not there for that, then trust me, you'll know very soon. It's not going to take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. If we don't want to hear it, then guess what? If we don't have time or we're not making time to listen to some of the things that keeps you awake at night, then guess what? That's not the man for you. And you're not the woman for him because he's not investing in that time.
Right.
Thank you for calling in, Princeton, and sharing your insight. And we're also excited to see how the conversation is going to go next week when we have you and your sidekicks on the show next week to hear the male perspective again with the females on the show. So thank you for calling in. All right, ladies. We have a few minutes left. I will say probably about another 6 minutes or so before we have to kind of wrap it up. So Kia and Shan, I'll go ahead and let you guys, you know, go through your next question. I'm pretty sure that'll take the remaining part of the hour.
Okay. Next question. Ladies, is a man's status, and when I mean status, I'm talking about financial status, is that important to you or on the top of your list? Would you have a problem dating a man who makes significantly less money than you?
This is Robin. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth with that question recently, meeting people at different levels, and I've determined that if a man makes significantly less than me, it's not an issue. These days, I find being employed very sexy. And so if that's, you know, being employed at minimum wage versus being unemployed and you used to make, you know, a big salary, you know, it, you know, just working, you know, I'm not judging. I know that, you know, with things that are going on in the economy, people are kind of at levels where they are finding themselves in a different place than where they were before. You know, I really look at how a person treats me, how I feel when I'm with that person, you know, what they're bringing to the table as far as, you know, values and qualities and traits. Now, you know, with that being said, I understand that you need money to live, and so I prefer a man who can manage the money that he has, whatever it is, versus someone who makes a lot of money and is not fiscally wise. So for me, it's not how much you make. You know, it's being responsible and how you're able to handle whatever, you know, whatever you're bringing in and whatever business affairs you have.
This is Shay. I want to answer that. Personally, my whole thing is, can you take care of yourself? I am not looking for you to financially provide for me. If you can take care of yourself and I can take care of me, then we can work it out. So that's not a condition for me. You have to be about your grind. Ambition is attractive to me. So if you're grinding, you're working hard, you're ambitious, and you can handle your own bills and I can handle mine, then we're fine. I don't care how much you make.
This is Wanda. I agree with what the ladies have previously said. I personally don't care about how much money you make as long as you're able to take care of yourself and handle your business. However, what I've found is that it's not me that has the problem with what I make. It's the man. Because what
exactly.
I'm finding, a lot of men's manhood is attached to their wallet. Being a man means to be able to do certain things for me or to do, you know, to handle this, you know, and it's not me, it's them. So what do we do with that, you know, when, you know, they have assessed that, you know, I'm more of a man when I have more money. Or the more money I have, the more of a man I am.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Right.
So Michelle, and I actually agree with what Wanda just said, because men, you know, they can be very sensitive when it comes to that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And in former relationships, when I was about to, right when I was about to graduate undergrad, I was dating someone, and he told me, we cannot be together anymore because I can't be with a woman who's going to make more than me. And I was like, say what, say that now? I was like, are you serious? And he was just like, yes. He was like, so we're going to have to, you know, go our separate ways, but we can be friends.
Wow.
And it kind of by surprise.
Yeah.
But, you know,
so what
and then, since then, that I found that to be the case with men when it comes to, you know, the amount of money you make, or they look at it as their meal ticket because their eyes pop open once they
exactly.
ask, like, you know, who do you work for? Oh, you
wow.
have benefits and this and that and that.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah,
yes.
the key word is
yes.
me as in I have benefits. But, you know.
Well, you know, I have to say I'm really looking forward. I think this is one of those questions, ladies, that we need to make sure we discuss with the guys next week. I would like to hear what
Definitely.
The male perspective is on this topic in terms of women making more money and so forth. And I want to see if the guys really do feel like it challenges their manhood per se, or if they're pretty much okay with it. So I think we're going to kind of hear some split decisions when it comes to this topic. So I appreciate you ladies being on the show tonight. I really appreciate the guys calling in and kind of putting the ladies in the hot seat a little bit, but I have to say you ladies represented well. You kept your cool, and I appreciate you guys being very transparent. I know we're wrapping up at the end of the show, and before we do that, I always want to make sure that our guests have an opportunity to share, you know, some contact information, especially with Kia and Shan having their business, their boutique here in Atlanta. I want them to be able to go in and provide some of that information. And before we do that, I just want to mention to you guys, since we're in the, you know, dating scene right now, I guess, or, you know, we're in this mood right now talking about romance and so forth, I wanted to share with you that there is an event coming up, and I'll go ahead and let Lachey go ahead and share that with you guys, but the information is already available online. So if you visit our website at mindshifttalkradio.com, you'll want to go there and hit the social scene button, and you'll be able to get more information about the event. But, Shay, if you can just quickly kind of give us an overview of what the event is and how they can get more information about it outside of Mindshift Talk Radio, that would be great.
Yeah, very quickly. Thank you so much, Stacey. I am having an event at the end of this month, July 27th, here in the Atlanta area. It's for Atlanta professional singles, 30 men, 30 women, and it's just $30. We will have dinner, steak, shrimp, salmon, and pasta. I design training curriculum for a living, so I'm designing interactive activities for the various, the men and the women. You'll be coupled up throughout the night five different times. You'll meet at least five different people. It's going to be very exciting. You can check it out on loveandhappinessatl.eventbrite.com, as well as the information that Stacey just gave. Thank you so much, Stacey.
You're welcome. So, again, thank you, ladies. And then for our special guests, our moderators and our experts of the hour, Kia and Shan of Cream of the Crop Boutique, kudos to you ladies. If you could, please go ahead and let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you and if there's any upcoming events that you want us to be aware of as well.
Yes, we have a Facebook like page as well as a friend page. Our like page is Cream of the Crop Boutique on Facebook, as well as our friend page, which is at Starlight Butterfly. We definitely have a Instagram and a Twitter. Our Instagram is the boutique, the underscore boutique, B-O-O-T-I-Q-U-E. And our Twitter is the boutique, capital T-H-E, capital B-O-O-T-I-Q-U-E. And that is it for now.
Awesome. So I'm encouraging everyone to go ahead and look at the information that Lachey just discussed about the professional singles mixer. I think it's exciting, especially because I know Lachey's level of professionalism, and you guys have already had an opportunity to hear her on the show tonight. As you can see, she's like no holds barred. So just imagine how exciting this event is going to be. So I encourage you guys to go and check her out online. And also, if you missed that website again, make sure you go to mindshifttalkradio.com, click the social scene button, and you'll be able to get more information. If you want to connect with Lachey, you can hit our contact us link there. It will send us an email, and we'll make sure we get your information over to Lachey. So again, thank you ladies for being here. Are you guys excited about being back next week?
Absolutely.
I am.
And part deal.
What did you say?
I said, sis didn't tell me this was a two-part deal.
Oh, yeah, this is a two-part deal. You're stuck with us for another week, lady. So I'm excited. Now, you guys have to make sure that you're on your best behavior next week. Let's just have a mama sit down real quick. Like, I need to make sure everyone's on their best behavior. We're not going to argue with the God. And we're going to have a lot of fun next week. Yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting. Sister Big Bones, I know you've been quiet over there. What are your final thoughts?
I am looking forward to next week. I'm also looking forward to Lachey's event. I just want to be there. I mean, I pay my bill for the food. I don't want to rotate with the men. I just want to be the fly on the wall and observe. So, yeah, I'm going to holler at you about that here. I will come down from North Carolina to go to Atlanta for this event.
It's going to be worth it, right? I do too. And special shout out to Felicia over in the chat room. Felicia Tribble has been like posting all night long about what her boyfriend said and everything all by herself. So thank you, Felicia. Woohoo. Kudos to you, honey. We appreciate it. So thank you to all of you that tuned in tonight. Again, special thanks to our callers. I know we had Byron, we had Princeton, we had Corey. So thank you, gentlemen, for calling in tonight. And we look forward to all of you joining us next week. Make sure you're here every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. It's the perfect way to get your week started at Mindshift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery. And I can't even say my own name. Jeez Louise, Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. As always, we wish you guys another phenomenal, amazing, and blessed week. And we hope that you'll join us next week. You guys take care. We'll talk to you soon. Good night.
God bless you.
Good night.
Mindshift Radio.